Yeah, because now you got to say all that stuff again, so it's on the recording.
No, I don't. Okay, now we're recording, folks. That's the first thing people will hear. Mind the Hyper Ledger Code of Conduct, the Antitrust Policy, I'll drop the link again into the chat in case you didn't get it the first couple times, and it's there. Introductions. Is there anyone? We don't always have new people in the community. Is there anyone that is new or has not previously introduced themselves that would like to today?
Hi, my name's Kyle and Hartog.
Thanks, Kyle. We're glad you're new here. Yeah, I there's a balance between asking every time and then forgetting to ask ever.
Well, since he spoke up, can we ask what he does?
Yeah, Kyle, who do you work for? Where are you?
I work at Matter, and I tend to just lob grenades.
I want to see a business card with grenade lobber on it.
It's his, believe me.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, glad you're here. Announcements. We have the Aries Connectathon December 3rd through 5th. There is a RSVP link here. Nathan's also shared a link in the chat. Also, be sure to sign up using the Google form. I'm not entirely sure why this is being done this way, but there's the link to the meetup page, and then also a Google form with some information. I think it's because meetup's weird about how they do stuff. I'd also like to call out and thank Street Cred and Hyperledger for stepping up to sponsor portions of the meeting space and food. If you are able to sponsor, we would very much appreciate that. That will help the event go smoothly, and help us be engaged in good work while we're there. So please come, and if you're able to also help sponsor, that would be valuable, but it's more important that you come.
One thing to add to that, when we have food sponsors, it means that we can have working lunches, and it helps us get a lot more done. So if your organization is already attending, that's a way of helping us get a lot more out of the time we have when we're there.
Do you need attendees? Like, so you know how many are coming, or is just show
yes.
up?
No. Please RSVP so that we know you're coming.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we need in order to help make sure the food sponsoring works properly. We need to count on how much food we need to get.
Also, last time I asked for a show of hands on who was coming, and I took a screenshot and we compared it to the list of people who have actually signed up, and some of you intend to come and haven't signed up yet. So this is your gentle reminder to do that in order to make. There's no fee associated with this, but it would very much help us to know who's coming so that we can be prepared for that.
Sam, are you going to talk about prepping for that meeting today?
Yeah, I really should. That wasn't on the agenda, but it should be. Let me do it really quickly. And if this turns into a conversation, we'll punt it really quickly down into the regular agenda section. On the link here for the Connectathon, there is some information about how it will run. There is a session grid. We have some space that is open intentionally for unconference style discussions. We can have a couple of breakout rooms and time for that to actually happen. There's some other stuff that we have a little bit more organized to all together, but we have some open time that we're very interested in doing stuff. So we're not attempting to, as an oracle, understand everything that we should be talking about. We'd like it to happen there with attendees. The event information is there. I also have a proposed list of testing targets. This is very open to feedback. This is what we're proposing for testing. It doesn't mean that this is some sort of entrance requirement, but it means that these are the topics that we think we should be focusing on. We also have some future interop testing areas. The DidExchange protocol is not quite there yet. We've got some things to figure out. So if they're not figured out by then we would like to talk about them there to move the ball down the field and to make some progress here. So any of these testing targets are open for discussion. If you think that new ones should be added or something should not be there for some reason, please bring that up. And that way we can kind of focus on what happened. The last event that we did, we kind of picked a couple of targets. It was smaller than this because Credentials was not even remotely close. But it was a super good event, and we actually learned a lot about things we needed to fix and issues we were running into. And we're hoping that by identifying testing targets, it helps us sort of motivate that a little bit. On the agenda is a discussion of Aries stable that Steven's going to lead in his RFC, and that relates a little bit to this testing target stuff. Any questions before we move along?
When do you want suggestions brought up, or do you want me to just post it in there?
Go ahead and post it in here, and then this is something that we can certainly talk about on the call if it's useful. But I would love to get through our other agenda topics first.
Yeah, I was just going to say throwing on non-repudiable to the encryption envelope, that work's not completely done. So that may make it difficult to test against, but.
That would be good, I think, future testing stuff.
Okay.
That's definitely important to talk about. But as far as the testing targets, I think most of these things are mostly stable, even though they have known issues and where, for example, connections is moving on to Dit Exchange. But at least the stuff that's here is mostly there. So,
okay.
Cool. Thank you, whoever reminded me to do that. I forgot to see your name when you popped up. Okay. We also have on the 21st, a webinar on peer DIDs that's happening on SSI Meetup. And that should be really good. Related meetings review, part of the purpose of having the identity working group call is to actually summarize this. And it's been brought to my attention that we're less good at making sure that recording actually happens. But the goal there is to have an overall review of all the meetings there, which means we can cover a little bit less than all the other meetings. But that works best if we can have a recording that people can listen to and catch up on if they don't make that meeting. And so we'll do better at trying to make sure that that does get recorded so that serves its function a little bit better. Any related meetings that folks would like to report on?
So on the IRSA call today, we talked a lot about hardware backends and how that would happen. So probably the only thing pertinent for this meeting is we're standardizing how that would look like and how that would work. So those that want to consume IRSA to do hardware as well as software encryption, signing, ZK proofs and all that stuff, and want to use hardware or HSM or TEs, that work is moving forward, and we're going to be reviewing an RFC on that soon.
Thank you, Mike.
Hi, guys. Robert here.
Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I mean, you can go with the semantic, and I will cover the DID UX and the SSI and IoT. Go on.
Okay. So for the semantics work group, it was two main topics during the last call. One was George Aristide brought up his DID Auth Z work, DID Auth Z for you Americans. That was really cool. It looks like that's going to dovetail really nicely into the work that Jan's been doing with all the consent receipt lifestyle cycle stuff. So those guys are going to communicate and work together on stuff, hopefully. So that was great. And then the second part of the call was really about looking at modular blocks in some of the ODCA constructs so that we can, so that when we build schema on places like Sovereign, we can use a decentralized resource identifier potentially to point to ODCA schema, which might be on IPFS or something like that. So that was a really constructive call. Yep, that's it from me.
And maybe one thing to add regarding the semantic and ODCA, we already have a fully functional parser for ODCA. It's a Ruby parser, which you can find on a GitHub account linked from the ODCA ODCA.online. It's a website where we are trying to aggregate all the information. I will put the link inside the notes. And from there, you can find the parser and as well some additional information about what we are doing currently with the architecture. Good. So regarding DID UX call, so basically the user experience is really hard for the SSI, and we struggle a couple of calls to actually get that straight and actually focus on something specific. And recently we agreed that actually we would like to try to tackle that problem from the perspective of the something which is called right now a purpose-based services. So another way of explaining that is that basically we are building a safety net, means that the network is built by default in a way that actually it's secure privacy of the users who are actually using it. So instead of focusing on the user that he needs to consent on every single piece or every single action, we are trying to design the user experience in a way that the user doesn't need to care about what kind of service he is using as soon as the purpose is matched. So this, what he cares only is about the purpose behind the action, which he's taking care of. So that's the current focus in the DDUX. And in the context of SSI in IoT, there was a lot of interesting discussions about the topic, and we tried to as well focus on a specific space there. And recently we discussed about like what actually SSI brings into IoT, or what kind of purpose it serves. And we agreed on that basically it's all about not just purely identification, as this can be achieved in many ways, but simplifying and basically making a delegation a super smooth process. And here an example: if you have a router at home, and if someone comes to your place and would like to ask for a password to get access to the internet, in the current state, you basically give away the password, and he leaves your house with your password, which is, you know, let's say master key to this router. With the SSI, for example, you basically delegate access to that guy for a certain amount of time, means that if he leaves your house, he's not taking with him anything which is valuable. So, and in that context, we will try to basically drill down the topic and try to do some tests in that space to figure out a little bit more how actually we can build up a kind of guidelines about how to design IoT devices with those principles in place. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert and Paul. Anything on the Indie contributors?
The meeting this week was mostly to review going-ons in the community with our friends in New Zealand. So we didn't break much new ground, but there's notes in there. It was useful to get Kyle's feedback on things. One suggestion we had when we talked about the future of Plenum was that we really need to make sure that the sovereign steward community understands how to contribute to Plenum, because they're a key group of people who benefit from that code base who aren't involved in development today. So that's something I need to bring up with the sovereign group. But yeah, that's the main thing from the Indie contributors.
Excellent. And the identity working group.
I don't see anybody else on who was there today, but I was on the call. Oh, go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, we did a presentation on OIDC authentication using verifiable credentials, and we showed off the work that Matter Global built on based on a bounty from BCGov. And worked pretty nicely.
Yeah, that was the implementers call last Thursday. It went really well. The main identity working group call today I was on, the main conversation was about they're moving the identity paper from Google Docs to GitHub, and they're trying to decide the best way to keep it up to date. I think they want to take the rebooting web of trust model and checkpoint it and say this is a 2019 version and then start a new version for 2020. So that we can see our findings evolve over time.
Cool. Thank you for reporting. Any other meetings? Okay, work updates. Daniel, would you care to share a quick update about the protocol test suite?
Sure. So I've been putting a lot of time into getting the infrastructure up to snuff in the test suite. We now actually have an interop profile that's being emitted by the test suite as a result of testing, and I've done some other optimizations behind the scenes that should make it easier to implement tests. So I personally have moved on to working on writing more of those tests and would be happy to receive more contributions from the rest of the community.
Excellent. Good work there. And if you're interested in contributing, please reach out to Daniel. This will be really useful in leading up to the Connectathon and at the Connectathon as well. Aries Core Library discussions. This perhaps, is there anyone that wants to mention anything specific there?
I have an RFC in my, I have a fork of the RFC repo under my username, and also starting to move over some code into that, into an Aries KMS repo there. If anyone would like to contribute or work with me, please let me know.
Thank you, Cam. BCGov, any updates from last week?
No, we're doing lots of work on instrumentation and performance learning. We're now up to 50% of the performance we had in the old version, the pre-Aries version. So that's a great improvement, but we're still frustrated that we're not getting more. So big thing is trying to understand all the, distributed debugging, basically, figuring out what instrumentation would be the most helpful, and then based on that instrumentation, what we can use to improve things. So we found a couple of things that have moved it along, and we continue to look for those.
Awesome. And Aries Framework Go had 0.1.0 release, Troy?
Yeah, we pushed out 0.1.0 today. We've done a lot of work on the documentation, updating the project description in the README. So I'd love if anybody has time, take a look. We've posted our weekly planning notes as well, as we usually do. I posted links to how you can play with the framework in its current state. You can run the BDD tests. Those include tests against Sidetree protocol when we have ledger involvement. You can also play with the Swagger interface. The Swagger interface looks like the ACPI REST interface. And next up, we're working on credential issuance, continuing with our verifiable credential implementation, and looking at WebAssembly.
Excellent. Good work. Thank you, Troy. Jack, Aries SDK Ruby?
No news this week.
Okay. .NET, Tomislav, or other compatriots? Java?
Yeah, we have made some progress. We have the Aries SDK Java GitHub repo now. We merged our last PR. We are working on a connection invitation. Again, we have a call tonight. If that time does not work, we would encourage people to join the channel. We have a separate channel now. So we'd encourage people to join and let us know what time works and we can coordinate. But yeah, now we've merged our first PR. This is the second PR that's been worked upon.
Excellent. Thank you. JavaScript.
Also announce the name of the channel so that people know. I don't know if everybody knows that.
Yes, and let's add it to the, let me add it to the list here as well. What is the name of it? It's Aries
Framework Java.
I will correct that, but yes. Okay. Aries Framework Java is on the list. Thank you. JavaScript.
Yeah, hi, this is Ajay here. The PR for moving the indie Node.js repository has been merged into this repository called Aries SDK JavaScript. And now it's ready for the contributors to, you know, start picking and cloning the, and, you know, start working on it. So what we're looking for is to move faster on this. Is it possible to add these four people in the maintenance list so that, you know, we can review the PR quickly and approve them?
Are these people that we need to have added?
Yeah. And we would also like to rename the reponym from Aries SDK JavaScript to Aries Framework JavaScript.
Daniel, do you have permissions for this? Do we have Daniel Hardman? I don't know that we have Daniel Hardman. We will, we'll make that happen.
Thank you.
if that doesn't bother me specifically on Rocket Chat, and I will make it happen.
Sure. Thank you.
One quick comment on the JavaScript SDK. There's a bug that's been reported against the JavaScript indie wrapper, and we plan to fix it, and then we'll contribute it back. But just for teams working on things that started with indie wrappers, if you can kind of keep track of the indie wrappers over time so that we don't accidentally fix things that end up coming back in areas, that'd be helpful.
Sure. We'll keep track of it.
I just renamed it for you. And then I will see if I can add the people. If not, Ry Jones is the one who will be able to.
Thanks, Kyle. So it's been renamed, and so we should probably change this. And then we'll get the contributors added. Okay, Indy, Richard. Yes,
yeah. Yeah. Not much of an update. I was most of the stuff here was old, but I was just looking at the issues. We have a number of issues now for deprecating portions of Indy that have successfully moved to Aries. It looks like IS-1423 and IS-1425. That's for the wrappers and for the documentation, the getting started docs. And is these wrappers mature and diverge from Indy? Is other wrappers mature, or as they diverge from Indy, then that'll be good. Let us know and we'll deprecate the Indy one and start pushing people towards the Aries ones. So the Python one, we're pushing people away from Indy towards Aries Python now. We're pushing people away from Indy towards Aries.net now. The Java and the JavaScript ones, we could do now. We think we'll probably wait till later when those language libraries have matured a bit more. So in this interim, we'll need to make sure we keep moving improvements until those language libraries are mature enough that we want to deprecate the Indy one, or that they've diverged far enough that there's not much value in keeping them in sync.
Thank you, Richard. Mike, any URSA updates beyond what you already shared?
So this is Ken. On the rich schemas, we have new RFC for the schema object that we're looking for review and feedback on. We've had corresponding hype in Indy for the lower level pieces of the schema object and have received some review there. So anything, if you're interested in that, take a look at the RFC and then comment on that. Thank you.
Can you link the RFC into the notes here?
I will link it in a second.
Perfect. Awesome. And then Mike, any updates on URSA?
Just that we're working to do a 0.3 release by the end of the month, which will include new encryption stuff and the rest of the non-creds predicates.
Okay, it's in the notes, you're committed. Thanks, Mike. Awesome. Any other work updates or releases before we hit our agenda? Okay, I am your host, Sam Curran, and we're playing the issue game. Can we close this? I've picked three. There is a tag I should mention. Let me actually go and find the tag so that you can see. There are labels that you can apply to things, and there is a need vote that will help us bring it up on the call. And if these get priority, if anything needs to be brought up on the call to close an issue or to bring it something up, there were none. So I picked three. I tried to find the oldest ones that hadn't been commented on in a long time. The first candidate is number 97. For non-local agents, HTTPS would be required. Originally brought up by Kyle, and his question originally talked about serving a UI for an agent to a browser. So this, to be specific, his original question was not necessarily about agent-to-agent communication, but in the ensuing discussion, it kind of navigated a little bit through both. And it got to the end where Daniel Hardman and Kyle agreed that HTTP is a good idea, and it's usually safer to just use HTTPS in all situations where the two are combined. So it looks like we don't. Oh, Daniel Hardman is here. Perfect. We have Daniel and Kyle. Is there any further action that we should need on this, or is this something that we can close?
I think the only change would be in specification to say must use HTTPS. Although I don't know if that's contentious from Daniel Hardman's viewpoint, because he was saying it should be.
Daniel was arguing a should. Kyle was arguing a must.
I'm good saying should. I think that's an appropriate action, and then we can close it.
I'm happy with the resolution, but I wonder, do we know exactly where we want to put this updated language? Is it just in one place in the transport RFC, or is there any place else?
Well, we haven't really clarified. With this question was originally raised around was the idea around the controller. So it's like there's controllers that are using REST APIs and requiring there, but we haven't put that in an RFC anywhere. That's just kind of an architectural design. So if we, I would say it should go in the transport layer. And then also if we describe how a controller works on an RFC, then we should be putting it in there as well.
We could check. I believe the transport layer already says should. Under HTTP. One of the things that gets us is that if you use TLS 1.3 and above, you get perfect forward secrecy on top of it. And so that's one of the advantages of doing it there. The original question was either around a UI or an API call. And so I think the real question is where to put the result of this conversation. And I don't know that we have an identified place.
Okay. We can close it until somebody comes up with it. I've noticed that pattern has actually emerged on both Framework Go and ACAPI. So it may be something we want to call out as a concept.
It may be something that needs an RFC or a section added to an existing RFC that does call that out. And that's where we'd be able to note this.
Yep.
Okay, Kyle, I'm going to leave that in your hands to find that location. Is that okay?
Yeah, if you want it done in 3 months.
Okay.
I assign it to me and yeah, I'll add it to my to-do list, but realistically, it's probably not going to get done for 3 months.
I think it should be close because there is no place where we talk about controllers in here. I think, and even if we did, it would still be a should, wouldn't be a must, and I don't think it changes anything to keep this open.
Well, and I think that if anyone does write an RFC surrounding the a REST controller pattern on an agent, the should HTTPS is probably going to come up anyway.
Okay.
So I would agree.
Anyone opposed to closing it?
Nope.
Okay. Will someone go do that in the background while we're talking about the next one? Candidate number two is issue 100. Are additional layers of encryption relevant for security or only privacy? This was brought up by Sven Hammond, and he was asking about the various attributes of re-encryption during forwarding and the benefit of it. And both Kyle and later Daniel agreed that that it was the privacy of the metadata that was under discussion there. I don't know that Sven is a regular attendees of the calls, but the last comment here was on June 26th. Is there any objections to closing this particular one? This was mostly a clarification.
Yeah, I think it's good. We both got a chance to talk with Sven, although I think he clarified this through this comment. I think it's fine to close. And he was able to, it was able to impact his understanding so that he could properly formally verify some things.
Perfect. So it sounds like it served its purpose.
Yep.
Anyone opposed to closing issue 100?
Go for it. I'm getting a really happy, smiley vibes from closing tickets.
Yes. I like this game. Okay, did resolution work? This is ticket 101. And this was Kyle and Daniel, Tobias, and Talltree's in here as well. I think I already said Tobias. So Stephen, bunch of comments on this. This mostly has to do with standardizing what I believe was in the DID document itself. Is there in down here at the resolution, we kind of have some agreement on it and some PRs, some results that already happened from this. Is there any further action that's needed on this particular ticket?
think it's a at a good state to close. The basic question here is, if you're trying to do resolution over DIDCOM, what's the right way to do it? And there's several kind of sub-threads or branches of the comment stream that talk about things like, there's a little side comment about how we change this in the pure DID spec and so forth. I think all of the places where we actually wanted to change something have been taken care of. So I think we're good to close it.
Okay, any objections to closing ticket 101? Again, the last comment was made on the 15th, although there have been two references. Troy Rondo was both of them, where he resolved issues and referenced them.
Yeah, I think that should be good. I'm not sure how it affected implementation, so I think it just found a common understanding between us, and I'm concerned that it may have just turned into tribal knowledge rather than actually being written down. But from Daniel Hardman's statement, it makes me think that things did get added. I'm just not remembering what we added, other than, because I remember Marcus's point was somewhat separate. If I remember correctly, it was an idea that I originally wrote down that came from Steven's proposal to start doing resolution in Aries over the DIDCOM protocol rather than setting up a API for it.
So RFC 124 was written by Marcus that captured all of that, and late in the comment stream, you can see that he merged some updates based on things that had been discussed. So I think RFC 124 is the main embodiment, and there's also some stuff that Marcus suggested we should do to update the peer did work, and that's also been done. There might be things I'm not tracking, but those are the two that I knew about.
Okay. So in terms of the reference, sorry, to interrupt. Sorry, the references I made were probably from the Go framework, where we ended up with, from the diagrams above, an HTTP resolver and the peer did resolver, plus you can plug in other resolvers. I believe Tobias posted that picture at some point, so the Go framework ends up looking a little bit like that in terms of the default support that we have.
So it sounds like the effect of this ticket has been already embodied in the correct places. Anyone opposed to closing ticket 101?
Nope. Okay. Go for it.
Awesome. I'll do that in a minute. Thanks for playing the issue game. We can play a little bit for again if we have extra time at the end of the call. And I like this. Let's keep doing it. What I was doing was going to the tickets and filtering them by the ones that have not been updated within a certain time frame and walking that back until I found sufficient. And so there's a couple there. I have been, just as point of order, I've been skipping the ones that specifically relate to changes we want to make to DIDCOM. Not that they're not important, but I'm not suggesting we close them yet, because I want to make sure that in whatever venue we have those conversations, that those important issues are brought up. And as soon as I'm confident that they're registered in the appropriate places, we can go ahead and close these related tickets. But I've been sort of skipping those, and there's several in the process of playing the Can We Close This game. Okay. The next topic I want to talk about, this is a deck that I've put together, and I'm going to present it just like this in edit mode, because if there's feedback about the things that we want to do, I want to incorporate it directly into the slide, the slides as we can. Over the past couple of weeks in particular, I've detected some sort of different visions about the goal of the Aries project, and we haven't formalized these yet in a way that I think would be really useful for the community. There's some blog posts and there's some other things. There's some definitions, written in various places. But I want to get a little bit more specific about this. The beginning of this, I don't think is going to be super controversial. And then at the end, I'd like to talk about some differences in approaches that we have taken, and perhaps some approaches that we can take as we move forward, to maybe act a little bit more like an open source project. So the goal of this is not that I present this whole deck of slides and then you all go think about it. I would love some feedback as we go along. And if you're not quite sure about something, then please reach out later. Or if you have thoughts that happen later that you would like to, that you feel would be valuable to incorporate. The output of this might end up being just the slide deck it is. It could end up being something that gets more embodied into an RFC that we can use as sort of a central rallying point, or if it needs to be published somewhere else, that's okay too. But the point of this was to sort of organize our discussion as a community.
Sam, can you paste the link to this slide deck in the chat?
I can. I have not yet changed the thing. So I'm going to add comment for now. And then let me copy the link. All done. And I will drop it in the chat, and I'll get this into the meeting notes in a minute. So the first thing that I want to talk about was goals of Hyperledger Aries. The easily most stated goals that have been previously written about are interoperable off-ledger interaction. Aries was born from the original concept that we should not use the ledger to communicate all the things, but we can have ledger-based communication, which expands a little bit with pure DIDs because there's not properly a central oracle for that. But this is off-ledger interaction that we have. The other term that's been used a lot is identity agents. These are agents that help people to be involved in the process of the necessary cryptography and communication related to, you know, verifiable credentials and the other cases that we actually have. So these are the two goals that I'd identified. Any feedback on these? And this is not a speak now or forever hold your peace situation. This is just, if you had something that you were dying to say, I want to hear it. If there's things that you're willing to contribute later, that's also good.
Sam, this is Drummond. Is there a terminology question here, or what are you?
What I'm hoping is that we can agree on the central goals of the Aries project. And the Aries project is one project that exists in the community of organizations and projects. And I want to make sure that we can clearly articulate the goals of the Aries project specifically.
Got it.
To what scope, I guess I'd leave these questions. Like, identity agent is a very broad subject. Okay. That helps scope.
Yeah. So code to identity agents. That may be a little still loosey-goosey, but the idea here is this is a code-oriented project. The Hyperledger Aries project is code-oriented.
Hey, Sam, do you want us to make verbal comments or comments in the Google Doc, or how would you like feedback?
Whatever you think would be most useful for the conversation.
I think we should add DKMI to the goals. I don't think we can have agents or wallets or anything like that if we don't.
What's the I?
Infrastructure.
And is it D distributed or decentralized?
It's decentralized.
Yeah. I
don't see how that's the goal of Aries. Aries wants to use that, but Aries doesn't provide that.
Well, but you want key management built into this.
Yeah.
Is that the right way to put
support.
It?
That's.
So another way of saying this is that the crypto part of DKMI does not come from Aries, but the messaging peer-to-peer interaction part of DKMI is very much a message family we would expect to have in Aries.
What can help you shift things into balance? I would have read that part as...
So I just had a minor comment about identity agents. I think it's a little broader than that because we have to build these mediators to actually, you know, route to identity agents. So I don't know if that's all captured in the term identity agents or not.
It is in my mind. I think the word, the reason identity was used is to differentiate it from a user agent. And there's a little bit of overlap there. But if you say agent, then people's minds go different places. And so the use of identity, in my mind, includes the effects of routing and mediators, et cetera.
So we're picking up someone in the background.
We've got some background.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. That really helped.
Oh, so these are super good corrections to this. Other thoughts on this goal slide here?
Well, one sort of reflection when I talk to audiences from the perspective, and I, again, it's just one perspective about the trust over IP stack, I immediately point and say, hey, and you, if you want code for layers 2 and 3, that's what the Hyperledger Ares project is developing. So it's it puts it in a specific perspective of one way to look at what's being built. I don't necessarily say that's the only thing that's happening at Ares, but I do say it is, you know, it's to provide the code for layers 2 and 3.
Is there a better way than layers 2 and 3 that we can write that?
Well, not necessarily at this level. I was just making that. I mean, one of the reasons we published that as an RFC is so you can actually point at that and use terms like that to be precise. But I'm not necessarily saying if you're looking for words on this slide, I'm not sure that is appropriate.
Okay, so.
But I will say one thing. Facilitate interoperable off-ledger interaction is super broad. I mean, the Fabric folks would stand up and go, that's Fabric channels. Right. So I'm not sure that.
So what I'm going to do is move along and we can come back and revisit this. And I've added layers 2 and 3, acknowledging that that's not good language, but that there's a pointer to the concept.
So
at least if you do that, reference the TOIP RFC. So it's not just layers 2 and 3 doesn't mean anything by itself.
Yeah. I was just going to add, I do like the off ledger interaction. Maybe that could be more specific, but I think that's an important point. It's more broad than identity, and I think we don't want to lose that. And I also posted from the Go framework's README, the description we used, which was kind of intended to be similar to this layers 2 and 3 idea. And I posted that to the chat.
I appreciate you contributing that. I didn't copy it necessarily because it doesn't, like, there's more work required to blend, but I appreciate your contribution.
Sam, it's Paul here. I was just wondering, is Ares, would it be in scope for Ares to create common standards for key management services, or is that not codey enough?
So let me hold on to that one, Paul. And if I don't reference it again, then bring it back up when I talk about project output.
Okay, cool.
That's in 2 slides.
Cool.
So I have some principles here. And this is going to be an incomplete list, but the things that we actually must get done or as we develop code or we've lost it. So the two that I have called out are interoperability and portable. And the sub text here is meant to clarify. And interoperability, the shared protocols, is the primary thing that I think we need to be interoperable with. If we can't talk to each other, if our code bases cannot talk to each other, then we've done it wrong. The portable aspect is something we actually have done a fairly terrible job so far of supporting. And this is the idea that I can fire the software that I'm using and I can take my data, and that's up for definition, but take my data and I can go use it with a different agent and still accomplish the goals that I have. And this is important because it's different than a goal. But it's a principle that we have to abide by as we're developing the things that we're developing. Otherwise, we're wrong. I mean, we're producing something that locks people in or forces them to work in a particular way. If we have interoperable agents and I'm using one agent and they irritate me for any number of reasons, I'm not locked to using that software for the rest of time. I have a process where I can move or I can fire one agent and I can use a different one in its place and still accomplish more or less the same sort of core community goals that we have. That doesn't mean that we're restricting developers from creating features unique to one particular code base. What it does mean is the core concepts that we're trying to do need to be portable so that we can accomplish that. So this is not designed necessarily to spell out exactly what we mean, although maybe we should be more specific. But to highlight these two principles that are necessary in our work. Thoughts on this slide?
I'd personally like to add that this should be beyond this community when we talk about interoperability. We talked about shared protocols here, but I think, you know, there's certain aspects in diff that we could have more compatibility with, and we should consider that as an objective.
So Sam, are you thinking in terms of like a intermediary data standard, something like that, where you know the portability comes from the fact that I can export to a standard format and somebody else needs to import that format? Or are you thinking more extensive?
I, from a use case principles perspective, the idea here has always been you can take your ball and go home, meaning no matter which code base I'm using, I can decide that code base it does not suit my purpose anymore. I want to switch to a different code base, and it needs to be possible to take your.
Yeah, I get the other concept. I guess I was thinking, are you thinking more in terms of sort of an implementation? In other words, in order to make that portability happen, here are some standards for how you ingest and how you map and so forth. Or is it more along the lines of, you know, I want to define a portability mechanism, not necessarily one that's going to transform it into a particular piece of software in the future?
I think that the answer is both formats and processes. For example, there's lots of good reasons where it's either entirely impossible or not a good idea to actually export private keys from a scenario. In that case, you would need a process of exporting the relevant information so that when I give it to another agent, it can begin the process of actually identifying all of the connections and communicating key rotations or the new device added, old device removed from that particular relationship. So it is both a mechanism or protocol plus the formats necessary to make that happen.
Yeah, I, Sam, I love that. This is Drummond. I was going to say that the way that we, when we did the DKMS work, the way we talked about it was if the import to export process is taken place between two agents, then you can just literally see what has to be done. They have to be able to connect. And then the agent that is exporting needs to be able to transport the data that I'm not saying it's the only mechanism, but if you look at that mechanism, you say, okay, two agents actually have to accomplish the export from one and the import to the other, to the point where at the point you're done, you can turn off agent A and just, you know, that it's a great way to frame that's the portability you want. And I want to make one other point about that, which this is not, quote, what do they call it, the project at Google, where, oh yeah, you can download all your data, right? Because there's no guarantee you can actually turn around and use that with any other system, whereas the bar here is you can move the data and you don't have to have technical expertise to do it. You literally just have to say, I want it to go here.
Yeah, Facebook lets you close your Facebook account. And when you close your Facebook account, you can quote unquote take your data with you by downloading it. But one thing you cannot take with you out of Facebook is your relationships. So what you end up taking is all of the posts that you wrote are downloaded as content. But there's no way you can download your social graph and reconstruct it somewhere else. And what we would like to avoid is a situation where somebody who's part of the umbrella of cooperating organizations inside the world of Aries is using organization X to, get their source code and do their stuff, decides they don't like X and want to move to Y, and all they get to move is their credentials, but they don't get to move their relationships. That would be really bad. I think it might be worth writing an RFC just about the portability issue. What types of things should be portable? Troy's pointing out in the comment stream that there are certain kinds of portability that are not practical, and enterprises and individuals have different portability needs. All of that's true. But we need to definitely have a higher standard than Facebook, because the effect that Facebook's bar gives us is basically it's a Hobson's choice. You can either have your social network, or you can leave Facebook and leave your social network behind, but you can't take your social network with you, and that's a problem.
Yeah, I think an RFC would be useful there. Troy also brings up, we're all speaking for Troy here, but Troy also brings up that this is a larger topic that also overlaps some of the concepts behind, secure hubs or digital hubs. You know, that's been the discussion of both our WAD and work done at the DIF, And there are concerns specific to Aries about portability that don't necessarily are not fully solved by that. And so an RFC that sort of explores that would be really, really helpful. So love that concept. Okay, so we expanded this a little bit. Any final comments before we go to the next slide?
I just to say that UMA ran into this problem. It was supposed to be portable, but portability came down to writing a custom data exporter to get your data out of somebody's, out of say an administrative identity system. So it wasn't really, you know, user.
So I'd also like to bring up that this is not a, we talk about this once and be done topic. There's things we can identify easily now about portability. For example, my relationships need to come with me and I need to have a process by which one agent can be added to the relationship and the old one removed. But it also, so relationships are part of that. It's also an issue with credentials, for example, that are issued. We want the credentials to be portable so they can be moved to that other agent and also used there. And as we add other features, there may be other aspects of portability that come up. And so this is unlikely to be a one and done type of operation in our community as we define these things. But starting with what we know now, I think is really good. And having more clarity around what exactly this means will, I think, help inform a lot of the design decisions that we need to make.
I would add secure in there, not like good secure practices, right? And how you handle keys, what encryption algorithms you use, so you make good decisions there. How to obviously key management's one of them, but I'm talking like, you know, there's good algorithms and just good practice for coding, those kinds of things. Like you don't pick a broken library or broken algorithms. You encrypt a certain way. You don't just encrypt and then send a message encrypted Mac, you know, that kind of stuff.
Excellent inclusion, Mike. I am going to not add a ton yet, but that should certainly be in whatever we take the output of this and inform it into, this should certainly be part of that. Okay. The next part is the project output, what we anticipate producing as an Aries community. The number one thing that we're here to produce is code. That helps do things. And code will take a bunch of forms. We'll talk about that in a minute. The other thing that we have been producing is design documents. We call them RFCs that guide code. Sometimes they're more high level. We tend to call those concepts. Sometimes they're more low level. We call those features. But these are design documents that are oriented to help us design or to create code such that we can have various Aries code bases and projects, you know, under the Aries umbrella that actually interoperate with each other. So often embodying a protocol, for example, in an RFC makes it easier for two different code bases to target that same, you know, protocol for adoption on both sides. So these are the two areas that we're actually aiming to produce as part of this. Any thoughts on the project output?
Is this where you wanted me to bring up the common standards for key management services, or is?
Yes. Thank you, Paul. Your timing is impeccable. So we have in our design documents, we have a handful of things that according to the goals that we have as a project and the principles that we're operating by, we need to have, you know, design documents that help clarify or help apply the goals and according to the principles that we have. So this is exactly where that would go, is that we design a processes by which things happen. So when we say it needs to be portable, that needs to be more than a wish. We actually need to have both design documents that design such systems and then code that actually implements such systems in order to fulfill that goal or to realize that principle in our project. Did I do it sufficient justice, Paul?
You did, my friend.
One question. Sorry, Drummond.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Basically, I just wanted to ask about, does it mean that basically this will lead towards standardization processes as well, or this is out of the scope of Aries and we just basically provide a guidelines, and then if someone will decide to build a standard around that, then free to go?
So this is really relevant given recent IPR discussions. The RFCs that we create are within the scope of the Aries project and oriented to Aries code. That, of course, does not prevent someone from writing a totally separate code base that they never intend to be part of the open source Aries project from also implementing those designs. But the efforts inside of Aries is not to create specifications intended for adoption outside of the Aries project. There has been interest, particularly in the more fundamentals of DID communication, in people wanting to standardize that across the broader community outside the Aries project. And those conversations are progressing quite well, actually, in the last week or two. And we should be, you know, see the first example of that happening, but it is not the core concern of the Aries project to create designs that are intended to be implemented by everyone. Does that help clarify?
Not sure. Does that mean that basically we are doing stuff through the dominant design, that we basically define the libraries and code and stuff, and then actually people start using it, and de facto actually, let's say, a DITCOM and all the RFCs which we implemented, they are becoming a standard because most of the agents are using that. Does that...
There's a difference between a standard that everyone uses... And then because the common code is there, and a standard that everyone uses because someone agreed that that's the way it should be done.
Can I comment on this, Sam?
Yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
If you read the README, the root README of the Aries RFC's repo, and you look at our description of the adopted status, you'll see that basically the end of the line for an RFC in Aries is this adopted status until it gets, you know, retired or something. But the adopted status, the summary of it, the description ends with this sentence. In other words, it's a de facto standard. And it doesn't say this, but we should have added the phrase in our community. Hyperledger is not a standards development organization in the same way that OASIS or W3C or IETF is. And so our goal in Aries cannot be, we are going to create an international standard that's normative for the world and publish it with the same kind of formality that those organizations do. However, I think there's significant benefit in creating a de facto standard, meaning something that multiple implementations have coalesced on. If you look at the work that's happening in W3C around the DID spec or the VC spec, I think that's good and important work, but the biggest concern I have about it is that there's not enough coalescing. And so the value that we have here in Aries is that we're trying to get real coalescing around real usable standards. And then we can take that as input into a more formal standardization process. I personally expect that many of the things we're doing with DIDCOM will have a life beyond Aries, in that we will take them to IETF and write RFCs in the IETF sense of an RFC and publish them as normative global standards at some point. But the Aries work ends before then. It's not to do that. It's to demonstrate that these are real workable standards that everybody could use. And that's something that is not being demonstrated very well in some of the other organizations in the identity ecosystem right now, I think.
So my one piece of feedback to that, Daniel, is that, and Sam, everything's that you're saying, design documents, but some of these are specifications. They're not standards. They're not intended to be standards in this body, but they still are specs. And I don't think we should be avoiding the word specs.
I am intentionally avoiding the word spec because people attach unintended meaning when we say specification. And the specifications that we are creating are simply how the code ought to be written. And so calling it a design document is another way of saying a specification applicable to Aries only. And so to avoid confusion, I'm intentionally avoiding the use of the word specification and standards.
Okay, so this goes right to the heart of the issue. The whole discussion about taking these RFCs to DIFF is so that ARIES is not the only implementation.
Yes. So when there's a tension from outside of the ARIES project to leverage some of the output of the ARIES project, the ARIES project can be used as a source, but the conversation happens in another place in another organization better suited to standards and widespread specification development.
So are you saying that you want, is this whole thing with an assumption that there is going to be an RFC process at DIFF that is separate from what ARIES is producing now?
Yes, and is outside of the direct concern of the ARIES community, except that if an external community produces a wide specification or a standard, that we may have interest in adopting that for widespread interoperability. For example, it's a common transport for DIDCOM for agent messaging to use HTTP, but the HTTP spec does not live inside of the ARIES project. It is an external specification. Right. And the same would be true of any new specifications developed.
Okay, but let's be specific about DIDCOM. Let's say DIDCOM is, and let's just contrast, DIDCOM specified as a series of Hyperledger ARIES design documents or as a series of RFCs inside DIFF. What, help me understand, are you seeing those the same thing, different things?
I see them as a clearly distinct thing. And here's why. When we describe things in RFCs, we're very specific to a T, to the point where when we implement, specifically encryption envelope, that's one I'm most familiar with, we call to specific APIs that rely on a specific dependency. That is not to specification. In my mind, it's an implementation specification that you might use internally at a company, but in an interoperable sense, it doesn't work well. And so a standard or a specification should not be relying on a specific dependency, but should rather be specifying which cryptographic algorithms are used or specifying a data format or a data model, and being able to extend to many different dependencies rather than specifying the use of a single dependency.
Yeah, but Kyle, what you're pointing out is a problem with the verbiage we put in the current encryption envelope document, not a problem with the concept and process of doing those things in ARIES. All ARIES RFCs should have a scope that is broader than a specific API call. It's none of the things that we're writing are design docs. And as a matter of fact, Sam, the first line of description of the ARIES RFCs repo says, these aren't design docs. Individual code bases have design docs for that.
If we need to correct the term, I'm fully welcome to do that. I suggest we do that in a different venue. The point here is that we're designing things specific to the community that are oriented to producing code within the community. And we sounds like we should have a good conversation about what precisely we call those. I'm trying to avoid confusion between the work done inside of ARIES, or that should be done inside of ARIES, and the work that should be done in other places.
So there's a phrase here that's tripping us up, and that's inside ARIES. There's the ARIES RFCs repo, which is not code work, and it's a little bit of an anomaly. It doesn't fit well under the Hyperledger umbrella, but I claim that everything that's happening in ARIES RFCs repo is spec work, not design doc work, and the fact that it doesn't fit under Hyperledger is something we need to fix, but we should not kid ourselves and say that all RFCs are just design docs. They're absolutely not. They're specs.
I want to go one step further than that. If we're saying DIDCOM is supposed to be how we're going to be interoperable, any implementation at layer two, that is not a design doc. That's a spec. That's a protocol.
I agree to that. I think where it lands is the question of how do we actually fix it? I think that plays largely into the discussion. And I think
So regardless of what we call it, I'm trying to re-narrow the discussion and not to abandon the other ones, but to bring them up in a separate focus. It is not the goal of the ARIES project.
I'm not certain this part of the conversation is relevant to the I'm interested, Sam, to see you get through the rest of your analysis, and then we can decide how relevant this specific question is to the goal of the conversation.
Yep.
Any objections to Richard?
I'll let you go, but I'm registering a very strong dissonance to what you've said so far. So keep going, and we'll come back to it.
Okay. So we'll bring this back up in things that we can help to clarify within the community. So this is a slide I stole from a previous deck that I had at IAW, and a lot's happened since then. But I wanted to sort of bring this up was that this is the goal roughly, about creating these sorts of things. And Cam highlights the fact that wallet is not the right word and it isn't the right word, but I wanted to reference this slide in a previous conversation about what is ARIES. And so some of the things, all things here, I hope we have either defined up ahead or I will in the following slides. But I wanted to sort of nod to what I said there to help us make sure we don't miss anything or highlight differences or changes that have happened as Cam has called out. This was not proposing that we use this term specifically, but this is an older slide that I wanted to reference after we got through the first three things drawn out. So bunch of stuff wrong here, but I include it in the deck so that we can refer back to it in case we find ourselves missing something in our analysis. So there's a handful of components that we need to create in order to make ARIES project successful. We need key management. We need ledger interaction. We need credentials. We need agent protocols. We need to manage connections with other agents. We need secure communication between agents. We need to be able to sync between multiple agents for the relevant stuff that should actually be synchronized. This is the Alice to Alice scenario where Alice has a laptop and a phone and probably wants to interact with her relationships from either location. So this is likely to be an incomplete list, and I want to dwell a little bit less on these because of one of the concepts that I'm hoping to draw out here in a minute. Our development approach has been historically to produce a single core library that we can build products on top of. And that single core library has the effect of central interface pluggability, meaning that single core library has interfaces. And it has areas where you can plug alternative implementations that match an interface. But the idea here is these are centrally contained within one compilable artifact, if you will, to perform the functions that it has. Then on top of that, we have language libraries. And then we create, there's SDKs and frameworks. And we have, ultimately agents built on top of that. Some of the agents will be open source. Some of them will not be, but based upon open source SDKs and frameworks. And so here's my slide. There's more controversial stuff ahead. And this is unresolved-ish, but I wanted to bring up some concepts in the community so that we can discuss ways of going forward. This is a slide I stole from Daniel, where he was talking about architecture, and we've seen it before in our calls. And it has this historically correct model of how we have done our interaction, where we have agents that are built upon language wrappers. The language wrappers have C callable APIs that call into these various interfaces and then implementations of them in order to provide the types of functionality that all these agents are going to need. So contrast this slide here with the next one that I've modified. One of the things that we've detected, and I've had a number of conversations over the past couple of weeks, is that when we say pluggable, different people mean different things. Sometimes the pluggability that we think of is according to an interface maintained by a central library. Sometimes the pluggability that's being discussed is not. And so what I've done here is I've removed a couple of pieces. One here is a common C callable library that incorporates all these things underneath it. But we still have all these components. We need all these components. We still need ledger interaction. We still need key management. We still need crypto pieces. We still need credentials libraries to make this work. But from a pluggable nature, libraries developed in this manner can actually be incorporated directly by a language library rather than having to necessarily have a cohesive thing on top of it. So there's two different approaches here. One is very much a top-down design, if you will. And one, so the, and that's the one we've done historically. The bottom-up approach is let's create components that solve these problems, and then we plug them together at a little bit of a higher layer in order to make stuff happen.
Hey, Sam.
Yes. I have a
question. How should we model where some of these layers might blend together? Like, let me give you an example. If we're doing hardware KMS, then the crypto might be entirely in the KMS itself, like the HSM, and you don't
you're still going to have a library that helps you interact with that HSM.
Sure, but it's not pluggable necessarily once you're glued yourself to a particular hardware. So there,
necessarily proposing pluggability at that level, but you would have an HSM crypto library that you would then use from within the rest of the code in order to apply the HSM functionality into what you're doing. So you might have two crypto libraries, one that's HSM capable and one that isn't, for example.
But what I'm saying is do we need to have a way to model that it does two functions?
I think if you bring a single component that does fulfills two of those needs,
yes,
that's cool.
Yeah, so me too.
You just got a really big puzzle piece.
Yeah, so if you have one that is both creds and crypto, then it could fill both of those needs. So in the open source world, this is only slightly a reference to Get Smart. In an open source world, we often don't decide things from a top down and then implement those things. And sometimes that happens. If we all happen to agree on something, then it's actually pretty easy to take that decision as a community and then work according to that. And we don't always disagree on. In particular, we've had a lot of disagreement about how the central libraries of Ares should actually be created. And what we've been attempting is a top-down control-oriented manner where we're trying to decide as a community what that top should look like, and then we can build other things. But it's a complicated landscape, and it has been hard to come to a decision about some of this stuff. And so part of the reason I'm bringing this up is that it's entirely possible that the best approach for us as an Ares community is to do something more like this, where if someone in the community wants to create a library that fills some of those needs, they can just do it and recruit others to their cause, and that's the best way to move things forward. There's a couple of side effects. There's a higher likelihood of duplication of effort, because rather than making sure we're all building the same thing and then building the same thing, but on the plus side, stuff gets written with a lot less arguing, including when there's a fundamental disagreement about this model versus that model, et cetera. And as long as the goals and the principles that were behind are satisfied, then we can still build highly successful solutions under that model instead. And so what I'm slightly looking for is community feedback on this, and we might run out of time in this call, but feedback on these concepts and sort of the proposal, a soft proposal at this point, that we change our work effort to just create things, and it's, if you are behind the group that's creating things, it's your job to both evangelize and recruit people to your cause. This has happened already, right? We have the Go people, for example, Troy and friends, that are building a Go framework that isn't based on any of the other core libraries. In fact, they're producing some outputs that can be consumed by other libraries. And this is a little bit more of the chaos model that I think we ought to embrace a little bit more than we have. Now, there's a balance here. We don't want to waste effort, but we also want to move fast and learn the things that we can. And so as a community, we can decide how we, you know, which other projects we want to utilize and join or consume their output in order to move forward and create the artifacts and to fulfill the goals that we have.
I don't know. It sounds to me like we need to work on just playing nice with each other instead of forming all these things, because honestly, all of us lack resources. I don't think there's any group that has 400 employees working on a product right now. And so we have two or three engineers per company that we can spare, and two or three engineers coming up with their own solution is not going to be as good as all, you know, 40 of us working together. And so I think that if we can just get over the fact that things are going to be different, willing to settle things, and just, you know, talk things out, like put timelines or put time restraints on things and just work things out, I think that would be better than everyone just making their own solution.
So, Cam, certainly precludes that. And we want to work together as closely and as efficiently as we can. One of the points that I think is really important for any open source community or ecosystem is we won't make progress by telling people no. We make progress by letting people try things out and then judging the results based on, you know, their own technical merits. And so, you know, when there are disagreements, instead of saying, well, we need to stop and talk about this until we can agree, the approach we would like is, let's all go try some stuff and let's see what works best.
Yeah, I'd say that would be the intended goal that we've always set out with, which is agree on commonality when there's actually commonality. Don't force commonality. And I think that's the thing that we haven't necessarily achieved very well in the past. This has been the difficulty when, you know, certain people wanted something out of the C callable layer. And so I think it's important for us to recognize that commonality will come when it is there and when there's a common pattern. But until then, it's not useful for us to force it because nothing gets done.
I think that approach, Kyle, I disagree with it some because I think it undervalues the benefit of common implementations. And if we're willing to make more compromises on the implementations that we'll live with, I think we'll move a lot faster in working together instead of each person going their own because we can't agree.
See, and I understand that, but I just don't think that's a common reality. I mean, look at the Jose ecosystem. There's probably 40 to 50 implementations of something that does the exact same thing. Why? It's because there's differences in implementation. There's differences in opinion. They all do the same thing. They all achieve the same value, the same business output, but they're done in different ways, and that's okay. I think that's something that we need to fully embrace. And when there is commonality, such as common crypto, then go depend on some common crypto library. I think it doesn't make sense to force things and force disagreement.
One thing I'd add to that is that certainly in the Indie Semantics group, just by the very nature of what it is, we have to delve quite far beyond just SSI and also wallet implementation, more into the decentralized data economy. But we're learning so much about different things that are out there. And I think even for the areas group, it's kind of important to keep a broad perspective of what's going on, but at the same time, kind of funnel it down into wallet implementation. And I'm not sure that we've done that particularly well in the past, but it's something that I think we should definitely look to do in the future.
I'm not proposing that we stop trying to work together. And I'm also not proposing that we all must work together no matter what. I'm proposing that there's a balance between those two approaches that will best serve our needs. And if we find ourselves in a situation where disagreement is difficult to come to, we, the participants in that conversation, get to decide if we want to continue the conversation in order to resolve our differences and have the benefits of common effort, or if we're just going to create something different. And
so, Sam, can I? No, go ahead, finish.
Well, and I suspect that we will be making decisions along the way. And I might, for example, decide that I want to go a different way and later be swayed by the progress of the group that went the other way and might need to abandon my code and go with theirs to serve my own interests.
Right.
And that's okay. And I think that we need to do a better job of tolerating a little bit more chaos, because I think we've been trying too hard to keep things on the control side of things and not letting them balance each other out.
So that's perfect. What my understanding from last week's call and the discussions I've had around Aries Core is that we're trying to set up the perfect sort of balance here, saying, look, if we want to interop, we've all got to define it as a series of Aries stable releases and the associated test suite, right? And then what we can have is we got two, call it two ways that those can be achieved. Both can do it with their own independent implementation, or folks who want to collaborate on a common code base can collaborate on Aries Core. That was my understanding, the whole idea behind Aries Core.
And we still can. I'm not turning that off. I'm not allowing that to happen. What I am proposing is that if we have members of the community that identify something they want to work on that there is not yet agreement on, we should just go work on it. Drummond, you're breaking up just a little bit. Or I am, one of the two.
No, it's Drummond.
I'm agreeing with that. I totally agree with that. In fact, we should encourage that. I was just trying to understand or test my understanding of the proposal that Stephen had been making last week about Aries Core. That's all I was doing. Do we have Stephen? Is he here? I wanted someone that was part of that proposal. I just sort of was curious how they wanted to characterize the ideas behind Aries Core.
You mean the on the agenda, we have far less time than I anticipated because we had more discussion. Stephen, do you want to take a minute to talk about yours, or should we punt that to next time? Stephen had an RFC in specifically that talked about Aries Stable, but didn't necessarily address the conversation about Aries Core or Aries Next.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely punt on. No need to use fill my time.
Okay, so we'll move that to next week.
Sam, can I have just a comment about just few comments about this, what you propose? I mean, first of all, I will really agree with that, what you just proposed. And there's two reasons for that. First of all, this will happen no matter what decision we'll take here. It's already happening. And you can see that around in the different communities, they are building this kind of stuff independently from Aries. And they are following the RFCs and all the knowledge which we are aggregating and collecting here. And they are building on their own way, right? And then you can see that, for example, in Newport example, that they started without waiting for us to basically propose one way or another way to implement stuff, right? Another thing is that if we'll go the way as it was previously with the core C callable libraries and stuff like that, that there is a decentralized point, we won't be able, as the Aries community, we won't be able to benefit from the plugins which could be created within the different ecosystems, and we could plug them in. With the proposition as you, Sam, basically presented here, my understanding is that actually this will be possible, and this will be much more open to other work, which is outside of Hyperledger, outside of Aries, and outside the ecosystem which we are in. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And let me give you a specific example. Let's say there is an existing ledger library to interact with a specific ledger. It can be used directly by a language library without first making sure it conforms to a specific type of interface that would allow ledgers to be interactive. And so it would be more useful and more flexible in that way. It does have the downside of requiring more intelligence to exist at the language library level, and things that don't already comply by the same interface are not necessarily hot swappable with things that we do. I need to, at this point, nod to Troy in the comments, who talked about how they intentionally are abiding the other interfaces. And an example here is the REST interface for agent management, that is now shared between ACAPI and the Go agent framework, and the fact that they voluntarily abided the same interface. And that is exactly the type of behavior that we need as we're trying to balance here. None of us wants to expend extra of our own resources to make stuff happen. And we would like to build on common things, but it's more important that we build things then we make sure that before we start, we're building the right thing. And I think that we've been trying a little bit too hard to try and build the right thing and just not enough building. And I think that if we seek to balance it back towards chaos a little bit more, then we're going to see really big benefits from that and future opportunities. There's nothing that prevents us from still creating an Aries core based on a variety of contributions that are actually, that are actually contributed after that actually happens. There's nothing that prevents us from seeking commonality in the future or abandoning side projects. But explicitly acknowledging, Robert brought up, this is happening anyway. So acknowledging that it's happening and trying to embrace it a little bit more, I think is beneficial. There's a couple of practical pieces here. One is that we have to be careful when we name things, that we don't name things with the impression that other things are not tolerated or everything else. The short answer is, and I put together just a quick couple of notes. This was a slide I wasn't sure I was going to have time for, and I probably don't. If it's still valuable to have the repo inside of the same place where we can find it and we can collaborate on it together. And a new repo, the only justification for a new repo is what this repo contains, what it's trying to do, why it's different from other efforts. Again, this is not a judgment that you shouldn't be doing this, but if, you know, it, clearly articulating the difference between the two projects is valuable. Plans for development and use, and who will be collaborating on the project. And it's the responsibility of those who are organizing the specific code project to be able to recruit people to their effort in order for the scope of what they're creating and what's actually happening there. There's lots of good stuff that we're discussing here. And we don't have time, unfortunately, to discuss it in this call. But I do encourage you to bring things up in Rocket Chat. I will leave comments open on this slide deck, though I suspect that another format will need to be where we coalesce the ideas a little bit better. And we can bring things up in future calls. A specific part of this to be brought up in future calls, then please suggest that and we will make that happen. I'm grateful. I apologize that I talk so much today, but I hope that it will have a positive effect on the community and that will help us move forward in important ways. And there's a bunch of trademark questions in the comment where over time we can bring those up in Rocket Chat. I very much appreciate everyone being here. And I am grateful that we're participating. And please tell us what you think and help us understand the best way that we can move forward. Even if you feel like you're the only dissenting voice, we really want to hear what you have to say. So with that, thanks, folks. I apologize again for talking so much this time. I'll try to talk less next meeting. Have a great week, and we will see you on Rocket Chat.
Great.
Thanks everybody.
Sam. Cheers, guys.
Thank you, Sam. Bye, guys.
Hey, Sam, are you going to take care of closing those issues, or do you still want me to go back and do it?
I will close those issues if they're not done yet.
I also was not able to add new people to the repositories.
I've got that on my to-do list.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Thanks for being here, everybody.